Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Rumination Thursday, September the 7th, in the year of our Lord 2017. And with us, therefore, is our good friend, Pastor Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and you sound awake.
Well, we got grandkids and family.
Oh, boy.
Then on top of that, I could go to Circuit Visitors Conference for the district after we're done here today.
Circuit is a group of congregations near you. And the district, of course, are the various items, 35 of them divided up into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod throughout the world.
Right. Our district, Central Illinois District, comprises about 51% of the geographic area of Illinois. And we have roughly 16 circuits, and that can be anywhere from 7 to 12 congregations.
So you got pretty close to what, 140 congregations?
150-some.
Oh, very good. Well, do they all agree that there's no difference between us and the Roman Catholics?
Hardly.
You found a really good item, and I was surprised when I read it. It was done by the Pew Research Center, two surveys, one in Western Europe and one in the United States, and it was a very simple survey. They simply wanted to ask people, do you believe that the difference between Roman Catholics and Protestants are more different or are similar? And what I found very interesting, half of the Protestants in the United States said that both good deeds and faith in God are needed to get into heaven, which is a historically Roman Catholic position.
When I started delving into that too, I found that to be a little bit disconcerting, but what happened to faith alone?
Yes, it shows us once more how critical Lutheran theology is. If you are not in a Lutheran church, you, by and large, are not being taught the gospel properly. And tomorrow's going to be Open Mic Friday, so if any of you have any questions and you say, well, wait a minute, here's my church, and if you give me the name of the denomination, I'll be able to tell you where you veer away from the scripture. And the fact of the matter is, and this is really true, is that because Roman Catholics and Lutherans don't really agree on a lot, doesn't mean that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for the Reformation is declaring war against the Roman Catholics.
Yeah, well, back in Luther's day, you mentioned that to me earlier in the week, that they would go to war over these.
Yes.
Really destroy one another. We did some family research, and we could only take it back, oddly enough, back to the time of the Hundred Year Wars. And, you know, it's just like records were destroyed and a lot of disruption. But it was all over the faith, who believes what.
Yeah, to be fair, we have to say the wars weren't really on the basis that you're different than I am. But because of the leadership in various places, you were forced to become either of a Roman Catholic persuasion or a Protestant persuasion. And a lot of times that was against your will. If you had, for example, agree now with the Lutheran position, but your temporal leader was a Roman Catholic, he would force you to stay Roman Catholic. And so I could see why people would go to fighting over that. That's not happening today. There's not anywhere in the United States where you're forced to be a particular reason on the basis of the secular authority.
Now, in fact, as I commented before with you on the earlier, was everybody wants warm fuzzies towards each other.
Yes, and one of the things, you know, in the, I don't know how many years ago, but if your son or daughter came home and let's say you were Roman Catholic and they said, I'm going to marry a Lutheran, oh, no, 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 that's not going to happen in our family. But the survey shows that the majority, in fact, the vast majority of individuals would not have a problem of intermarriage between the two of them and having a member of the other denomination as a part of the family.
Well, don't you think that that kind of comes down to how they are raised and the importance that they put in terms of faith? I mean, we're talking about faith and works right now, but doesn't it also come to how you view the Bible, Scripture alone?
Well, I'm trying to think in the examples that, for example, my member was Lutheran, and the person that they were marrying was, say, Roman Catholic. They would not become Lutheran, they told me, until after their parents died. And so their relationship to the parent, regardless of the doctrine, means a lot. They don't really want to hurt their parents. And so I would refuse that wedding, by the way, if they weren't open to becoming Lutheran and becoming Lutheran. Because what does Jesus say? If you put father and mother before me, you are not worthy of me.
Yeah, I would agree with what you're talking there. But, you know, I also know some Lutheran families that when their kids go out to get married, they sit down and talk to them about whether their spouse is going to join the Lutheran church and commit to the faith, not just be a member of the church, but live out their faith in the church. So that does go on quite a bit.
Well, that's important because let's say one of my members is going to marry a Southern Baptist. And this actually happened to me. We were talking about how they were going to be relating to one another prior to the marriage. And I asked the question, when you have children, will they be baptized? And my member, who was a woman, said, oh, of course. And he was Southern Baptist. He says, no, there's no way I'm going to have our children baptized because I don't believe in it. Well, guess what? It stopped the marriage. They didn't get married.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those where we didn't get into the subject of baptism, but we talked about other aspects of their lives and how it performs to the Scripture.
I think part of the reason why people, the majority of them, think that religions are similar is because they really haven't been instructed well enough in their own religion.
I think that's very important. That that brings up another point that the those articles talked about, is Scripture alone was not their sole basis. It was also church tradition, church doctrine, something that the church itself taught that veered from the Bible itself.
A lot of Protestants believe that the Bible isn't the only source, but you can look at the church, what it says, and what the pastor says, and this kind of thing, which again is a Roman Catholic point of view.
Right.
Now, why do you think that Protestants who are not well-versed in their own religion tend to become Roman Catholic in their views?
It comes back down to works, and it kind of confirms over to the other fact that, you know, you hear about it in terms of some of the Catholic theology, but, you know, it really, I think, comes down to the fact that they're very ill-trained in terms of what the Scriptures have to say.
Yes, I think there's another factor, and that is Roman Catholic theology is a commonsensical theology. It makes sense. I mean, you want to get a job somewhere, they're not going to look at your work record. Of course they're going to look at your work record. And so just commonsensically, people impose how the secular world works, and then they impose it on the spiritual world. So they just jump to the conclusion, well, obviously works are going to be important. And sometimes we as Lutherans don't do a very good job. There are a lot of people who think that we teach and confess that works are not just not necessary for heaven, but they're not necessary at all. And the fact of the matter is, we're making a very clear distinction. You know, theology is the art of making distinctions, that any good works that God regards as appropriate only come after you are fully saved.
Got a Bible verse for you on that one.
Go ahead.
You know, I love Ephesians chapter 2. It's just, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. So, I mean, you bring it out very, very nicely when you talk about it. It's not our works that save us, but as a result of the faith that's in our heart, God's created us that ability to walk out and start working good works.
Yes, even those Protestants that say faith alone saves, they can really be confused and wrong in that view if they don't understand faith. For example, if a person belongs to a church that believes in heart theology, namely open your heart to Jesus, invite him in with a prayer, that is not teaching that faith alone saves, but your work in asking Jesus. And they think, see, that's what faith is. Faith is asking Jesus into your heart, and you have that prayer of invitation. That is totally part of the work of the devil in giving you the impression that you can be credited with being saved because you made the invitation.
And it really comes down to, aren't you talking about an active and passive sort of faith, an active faith that I got to do something versus a passive in which it's God that's working on my heart?
Yes, it's so clear from the Bible, if you look at the metaphors of salvation, not one of them has a contribution by the person being saved. For example, you're blind, you now see. You're deaf, you hear. You're mute, you speak. You're dead, you're raised. Now, and my favorite one, of course, is adoption. What right. does a newborn baby do to get adopted? Do they invite the parents to become their parents? No. It's an action on the part of the parents and a judge. And then all of their good works are really a result of their being adopted.
Exactly. You know what one of my favorite illustrations are? Is one that you do every so often. If one dies and finds himself in heaven, who will they give all the credit to?
Yes. Yeah, when you get to heaven, who are you going to give all the credit to for your salvation? Now, in the survey, they do a listing of who believes that we're saved by faith alone. And I tell you, the top ones in Europe was Switzerland, which has a lot of Lutherans. And they 41% said that us and the Roman Catholics are really different, whereas 54% said they're the same. But
right.
the one that got me was the United Kingdom was the highest among European Catholics. They believe in the United Kingdom, 45% of them, that there is a real difference, whereas those who thought it was similar was only 41%. That was the highest there.
Right, and I think as you look at those numbers, I think the other number you look at is, you know, the low attendance that there was in those various countries in actively attending church once weekly. It became monthly or every several months that they showed up. So I don't think they were spending the time in the scriptures again.
You know, for this coming Sunday, which is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, there is so much. On Monday, I went through a whole bunch of things in the Ezekiel passage, the Romans passage, and the Matthew 18 passage. But the Matthew 18 really says something interesting. Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I heard from Pastor Smith, he was doing a Bible study on this, as to what it means to become a child. And I never really had it quite like he got it. He said there's two characteristics of children that God wants us to be like. The first is they are powerless. And the second is they are totally dependent. And it's that powerless part that shows there's no work that you can do in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. You're powerless. You get there by grace through faith. And therefore, right, you then become totally dependent on Jesus. So that would be a good thing to really stress in this week's sermon.
Oh, I think so, too. I also, in your yesterday's broadcast, I thought you did an excellent explanation of Romans 13, where you talked about love as the fulfillment of the law, that it's not these warm type of fuzzies that are out there, an emotional sort of thing, but it's very concrete in terms of how God expects us to love by use of the commandments that we have.
Yes, what I was doing was showing that when it says love is fulfillment of the law, the secularists reverse that and say, how do you fulfill the law? Then you have a loving attitude. So it doesn't matter if you want to do an abortion or be homosexual. As long as you do it in love, it's a fulfilling of the law, which is a total disaster in looking at that verse. Love must fulfill God's law and not the reverse. And right, that's really critical. It's something that we need to be teaching a lot more, because I hear this on the TV shows all the time. Well, the reason we did this is because we really love each other. In fact, I had a gentleman, well, it's a true story about a murder. He killed his girlfriend because he loved her.
Ooh.
Well, he was so jealous because other men would look at her.
That was jealousy. That wasn't love.
It's not love at all. It's that other Greek word, eros, erotic love.
Yeah.
And that's not love at all. You cannot truly love unless you are obeying God's commandment as to what we are to do here on earth. So every time you do sin, don't use love as an excuse for doing it, because it's not love. It's lust, it's ego, it's self-interest, and so forth.
Okay, so the article says works plus faith gets you into heaven, versus we're saying it is faith alone. How do we talk to a layperson from one to another as we cross the street, you know, and they're of different faith?
Yes. First of all, to make that clear, I always like using analogies. I've already used the adoption one, but I would say, do you have children? And they would say, well, yes, we have a daughter and a son. And I said, isn't it wonderful that they chose to be your children? And they would look at you and say, what are you talking about? I said, no, I'm just saying what you're saying, that you say you chose to be God's child. So isn't it the same that your children chose to be your children? And right, they say, no, that's ridiculous. And I say, well, that's why, as Lutherans, we think it is ridiculous to say that you chose to be a child of God. No, he chose you. Jesus himself says that. You did not choose me, I chose you. How can you not understand that verse properly?
Right, yeah. That's from the Gospel of John, John 17.
Yes.
Yeah, and he appointed you, and you should go, and that your work should remain. But it's God working through you to produce those good works.
Yes. One of the most interesting things I found is that, 18% of Protestants thought that faith alone was actually taught by the Roman Catholic Church.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one, and I thought, are they really Roman Catholic?
Yeah, it's at the end of one of the paragraphs. It says, 1 in 10 U.S. adults, 11%, say only Catholicism traditionally teaches that salvation comes through faith alone.
Now, I do got to say, way back in my ministry back in the 90s, that I was counseling a couple for marriage, and this guy was Roman Catholic.
Yes.
And as I'm talking to him about stuff, he says, yeah, I agree with you. You know, he was verbatim agreeing with everything I was talking about out of Luther's Small Catechism.
Yes, and it's very important to note, like when I teach Luther's Small Catechism, I don't use Luther's Small Catechism. I use the Bible, and I'm going through Luther's Small Catechism, but they don't realize it. So right. They'll end up saying, well, I agree with that. And then later on, when we point out that that's exactly what the Catechism teaches, and it's different than Roman Catholicism, they're always pretty surprised.
Right. Well, what I found out later is that his priest was teaching him from copied, he'd hand out copies, photocopies of what they were to memorize and study. And
sure.
He was teaching them the catechism.
Boy, that's something. By the way, this statement is correct, where it says that only Catholicism traditionally teaches that salvation comes through faith alone. The reason I say that is correct is because of my definition of Catholicism.
Well, you go universal on that. It's all are Catholics, all are Christians.
Any Christian is a Catholic, because all that Catholic means is the universal religion of God, which is Catholic. So you have Lutheran Catholic, Baptist Catholic, Roman Catholic. But unfortunately, in our day and age, anytime you hear the word Catholic, everybody assumes you're talking about Roman Catholics. But don't they ever read the Athanasian Creed?
Yeah, no.
What does that say?
Yeah, it talks about the Catholic faith.
That's right.
Well, you know what I do is when they start saying the Catholic, I said, do you mean Roman or do you mean Lutheran?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that every Christian is Catholic, and that specifically there are different denominations. Now, even though I think there's some big differences between the Roman Catholic faith and the Lutheran faith, I don't say that Roman Catholics, therefore, are not saved.
Oh, no. I go back to your illustration. If you die and you get to heaven, who do you give all the credit to for your salvation?
And every time I ask a Roman Catholic that, they always say Jesus.
Jesus, you betcha.
And so what's happening, and this is why you have to go to church, you know, not to get to heaven, but in order to get your head to catch up with your heart. Your heart has perfect faith, but you haven't realized it in your head yet. And so teaching in sermons and Bible studies, proper message. But I'll tell you, I would say that even though some denominations are close to Lutheranism, maybe 80-85%, every other denomination apart from Lutheranism falls short of Holy Scripture. And people can phone me tomorrow on Open Mic Friday to ask me about a specific denomination, and I'll show them what they teach is not according to God's Word.
I think that's an excellent point. I know of a former Lutheran who went to the Catholic faith. He's on his way back to Lutheran. He said the stuff that they teach of work righteousness, he says, just does not gel with the Bible as I learned it as a Lutheran, and he's on his way back.
I'll tell you, the most important thing is the gospel. And you summarized it well with Ephesians. It's not just talking about the historical events of his death and his resurrection. The gospel are the promises connected to the historical events. He didn't just die. He died to forgive you. He didn't just rise from the dead. He rose for your justification.
You bet.
And the more you teach that, but by nature, Lutherans also are Roman Catholic in their view, that they just can't stop thinking that their works must mean something to God in regard to salvation, and it's just a shock to hear they mean nothing.
I think like you talked about in your illustration, in baptism, a child is at adoption, is they're powerless, and we've got to be able to see that. It took Jesus.
And to be powerless means that we're repentant, because right. We're repentant of not having the power to do the will of God properly. And then dependent means that's faith. That's the gospel. So powerless is the law. Faith is the gospel. And boy, that faith is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit as we hear the word of God.
God, you bet.
Well, thanks very much for finding this. I was unaware that it was that big a difference between people in regarding Roman Catholics and such. But you'll be back next Thursday?
Oh, looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure to come and ruminate with you on some part of Scripture. And
well, it'd be better if you ever came live so we go to Steak and Shake.
I'm thinking about next week already.
Okay, we'll talk later. Okay. All right, that's Pastor Wes Ryman. It's tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, so you can call in and ask me, Tom Baker, a question. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.